Now, each week I speak to a different member of Brentwood Council, and I'm pleased to be joined on the line by the leader of Brentwood Council, Chris Hossett. Good morning, Chris.
Oh, good morning, Michelle.
Good. Right, we've got lots to talk about today, so we're going to kick off, first of all, with this. I've had several people message during the radio show to tell me that the high street has been extremely busy with pedestrians and shops. I've got queues outside and there's lots of traffic. Could Brentwood risk being in lockdown longer? Because I know that's something you want to talk about with the rise in COVID in Brentwood as well.
Yeah. Okay, so... So as it stands, Brentwood has got the highest infection rate in Essex. I won't bore people with the numbers. The fact is we're the highest, okay? And by a significant, a significant way. Reasons for that, probably the most obvious reason for that is, ourselves and Epping, who are the second highest and the closest to London. You know, when you ever get a contagion type situation like this, you know, the closer you are to high density populations, the more rapidly these things spread. So that's the way it is. Mm. So as we know, we've got a national lockdown that is due to end on December the 2nd. I am concerned because the government are talking now about all sorts of additional tiers and you know, what we do for Christmas. Do we get some time out? What do we do in January? So we don't know the full details yet, unless an announcement's already taken place this morning, but because it moves so quickly. But I'm concerned that if Brentwood remains high, there's a possibility that there might be some move to put local restrictions on Brentwood and probably Epping as well, which I think would be just really disastrous for the community because we're approaching Christmas, disastrous more so for the small businesses because, you know, those that have had to close because... At the end of the day, probably December, the amount of trade they can do in December probably makes them the most money for the next 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
That is most people's bump a month if you're in retail.
Yeah.
So there's lots of reasons to be worried about an extended lockdown. So all I can ask and try and appeal in my own way to do is, look, we are where we are. We're in this lockdown situation. Try and do the best you can in terms of mainly around personal consideration for others to not spread the virus.
Mm.
It's a weird virus. People who've got it and don't display any symptoms and can still be spreading the virus.
Yeah.
So we just need to all be cautious. And it's not whether you feel well or unwell. It's actually, you know, you might have it passing on to somebody else who suffers completely differently to the way you've suffered, if indeed you've even suffered at all.
Yeah.
So I just ask for people to be as cautious as possible when they're interacting in public space, like shops in particular. Still a lot of people going in without face masks on.
Yeah.
You know, it's a difficult one. Still people gathering in more than is permitted as outside groups. We see that on a daily basis in parks, outside coffee shops and that sort of stuff. And people just need to raise the consideration because we need to try and get the rate down as much as possible in the couple of 3 weeks we've got left before December the 2nd. Otherwise, I'm probably going to end up having a difficult conversation with people who are possibly trying to treat Brentwood differently to the rest of Essex after lockdown.
Now, Chris, you actually wanted to talk about COVID as well because you've had an experience now with COVID-19 and I know you don't mind talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I had COVID-19 way back in March when it first happened. In fact, I think I caught it when we were doing the first can in the van and I was interacting with a lot of people. So I obviously picked it up at that point because I was interacting with hundreds of people outside Sainsbury's taking things off them and putting stuff in the van and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, and I think I read a statistic yesterday that the place for the highest rate of infection where it passes between individuals is supermarkets. I think most people who catch it, 18% of those people were previously, before they caught it and became symptomatic, were in a supermarket. So that's the hot spot, you know, let's be honest. But people have got to buy food, et cetera, essential items. So supermarkets are the place to go for those.
Mm.
But yeah, I caught it. Fortunately, thank God, I didn't have it terribly. I knew I had it because it was, even before they knew this was a symptom and wasn't talked about, where you lose your sense of taste and smell. And I lost that completely for over a week. I didn't feel particularly rough. I had a bit of a mild flu-like symptom. But the point is, just because I didn't have it too badly doesn't mean two things. One, that I wasn't contagious because I was. And two, I could have given it to somebody else that could have reacted completely differently to it, maybe in a worse way.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing. A lot of people perhaps are saying it's not too bad and therefore, you know, aren't too worried about it. But we do still have to be mindful of the minority of people that could react quite badly to it. So again, it's just about raising the level of consideration. So we've got a COVID considerate community here.
Yeah.
When we're moving about in public spaces.
Yep, definitely. Now, moving on to some better news for some of the businesses, there is Brentwood Borough Council has approved £1.5 million worth of discretionary funding for businesses following an emergency committee meeting on Wednesday. So tell us about it and who can apply, what the deadlines are and how quickly the businesses are going to be able to access those funds.
All right, so I'm hoping, so there's a number of schemes that are available, and again, you know, it's enough having different tiers of lockdown, let alone different tiers of grant, but the one that we'll just talk about for now is, as you say, this discretionary scheme, and discretion does what it says on the tin, really. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is aim at those businesses that otherwise wouldn't fall four square into being absolutely entitled to get a grant. So these are people who, for example, we know the events business is locked down. We know things like wedding venues are locked down.
Yeah.
But then, of course, there are a load of businesses that are in the supply chain that support those sort of, you know, nightclubs, wedding venues, whatever it might be in hospitality.
Yeah.
And, you know, and those people can be anybody from cleaners to florists to security staff to, you know, dressmakers, all sorts of people. And so the supply chain we want to look at. And so we're inviting, I think, I'm hoping it was going to open today, to be honest, but I'm looking at what I've been sent this morning. It might not now be till early next week.
Yeah.
But the discretionary scheme will award at three levels, whether it's 1,000, 2,000 or 3,000, three being the upper band, depending on the situation. So we're looking to take applications from that, I think, from early next week, so that we can try and pick up on those small businesses, those smaller micro businesses it's aimed at, that have really fallen through the caps.
Yeah.
And, you know, if people want to get in touch with us around that, as ever, you've got business@brentwood.gov.uk that you can email, or you can go online, brentwood.gov.uk, and then /business support.
What's the top part of the grants? How much can people actually get? Is there like a...
Maximum under the discretionary is £3,000.
Right, okay.
And then it tears down, one, two, and three. The problem is, Michelle, is we've got £1.5 million, which sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
But when you realise that amount has got to last you through till next March, and when you realise that, you know, there are hundreds of businesses potentially qualifying, of course you have the burden of trying to process all of those and look at every grant claim. But, you know, you can only spread it so thinly. Mm. So, you know, it's a lump of money, but it's got to be spread around a lot of different businesses. So we need to do our best to administrate that and means test it all correctly.
Now, talking about money, and we've got a great sense of community here in Brentwood, but money is very tight. There are a lot more people having to, you know, use services they probably never thought they would have to use, because a lot of people, as we've talked about before, don't have a lot of savings, or you've got rent coming out on the mortgage and you might have been made redundant. So you want to talk about the community hub, the Daybreak CAF, and as you mentioned earlier, the Can in the Van initiative as well.
So you're quite right. We always thought it would be tough going to Christmas. We know the furlough scheme has been extended, I think, for this month into the early part of December, as we know, by the government, for those that have lost, you know, being put onto furlough. But of course, there's lots of other people lost their jobs, and, you know, Christmas is a tough time. Your gas and your electric bills are going up as well because of the cold weather. So we need to... as we've done in the summer, and as you just said, Michelle, we're good at pulling together in Brentwood, and we need to do that. So 4th of December, we're going to hold what we call our Can in the Van. She's right, it's quite simple. You turn up in a van, and you get people to throw loads of cans in it outside Sainsbury's. We might do a bit outside Marks & Sparks and probably Iceland as well.
Yeah.
So that'll be a repeat of what we've done in the summer. So I'd encourage people, if you are shopping on that day, to be as generous as you were in the summer. And all that money goes into, food, goes into our food bank, effectively, that we're holding here. But it also gets distributed to the formal food bank, which is run out of Dodd Road Community Church. And it also goes to support people like the Daily Bread Cafe. And, you know, Daily Bread, for example, in Hutton, they, you know, they run a great service. They've had to close their cafe because of, you know, obviously the restrictions with socialising and all that sort of stuff. But their food, their rate of people coming to their church at St Peter's in Hutton looking for food donations has gone really quite high, particularly during the half term we recently had as well.
Yeah.
So we need to try and make sure we can support them. So can In the Van support it? But I think the easiest thing to say is, and at the town hall, we've got signs up on at the south entrance of the town hall. There's a food drop-off point.
Mm.
So if people want to do that, then all of that gets taken in where we store it and redistribute it.
Yeah.
So I'd encourage people to get behind that if they can.
And also, is it just food, or are you looking for things like, you know, face wipes or toilet rolls or bleach and things? Because they all, that all adds up as well, doesn't it?
You're quite right. Sorry. It's, you know, anything you go to the supermarket for that is daily stuff, it's food, it's cleaning materials, it's hygiene products and all that sort of stuff. Anything that's non-perishable, don't, you know, don't come and drop us off a, you know, a box of tomatoes or a lettuce or, you know, something like that, because it's perishable, and if it doesn't get distributed, it will get damaged or it won't last. So, you know, non-perishable food and all those other products that you just mentioned, absolutely. Anything we can do to alleviate the strain on people's day-to-day shopping list is what we're trying to do.
And good morning to Keith and the team that are down at the Daily Bread, because they are tuned in and listening. I just got a message come through, so thank you for all the hard work that you guys and girls are doing down there. Now, I've got a quick question that's come in. It's got Little Worley and Great Worley struggle with strict planning regulations, yet travellers have set up in the field in Great Worley next to the Woodlands Infant School and have hard-standing mobile homes and road networks and fencing without any planning, and they're still there a year after they pitched up.
It's not new news. In fact, painfully, it's not new news, because as whoever's asked the question knows, it's been there. It started about this time last year, actually. I think it was at the World Cup final, the rugby union, this time last year, about November the 9th. And they often take the opportunity when people are watching telly to get on a bit of land and do what they do. So there's two things to this. First of all, effectively, it is a planning situation, because somebody's come onto a piece of land and illegally developed that land in Greenbelt. And that's where the planning situation kicks in. So the travellers occupied the land, normal routine. Then they make an application for, you know, planning approval, which they did, and we declined, and then they appealed it. And that's where we are. So on the planning side of it, the people who live on that field are appealing our decision to refuse them planning permission. When they appeal, that goes to an organisation called the Planning Inspectorate. And the Planning Inspectorate have got such a huge backlog of work nationally, they still haven't got around to determining the appeal of the people who lodged the appeal, which is the traveller community on that piece of land.
Mm.
So that is happening. And we are continually badgering the Planning Inspectorate to say, how are you getting on? And we've done it even as late as, I think, this week. We still haven't got a date from them as to when they're going to determine the appeal of the applicant.
Mm.
So that's on the one point. The other point is, the other legal stream that we're taking, and I can't say too much on it, is we put an injunction on the community that's moved on to that land and said, right, you can't develop it anymore. That's the way it is. And if you do that, you'll be breaching an injunction. Well, they've breached that injunction continually throughout the course of the year. As a local authority, we've logged all of those breaches, and we will make a separate court application in the not-too-distant future that basically gives a dossier of, here's all of the breaches of the injunction, and then that's in the hands of the judge. So so Brentwood, you know, we're kind of caught in the middle, really. To get an outcome here that people want, we're dependent on the Planning Inspectorate and the legal system.
Yeah.
And we just need to feed those organisations what they need to make their own conclusions. What can I say? I don't think it's great when people of any culture or whatever background they're from or whatever community illegally develop land. And I've said all along, I don't want to tolerate it in Brentwood.
Mm.
And I'm hoping that the legal system and the Planning Inspectorate share the same view.
Now, the Brentwood Centre reopening. What's happening? What's the current plan?
Okay, so the current plan is, as I think I maybe said last week, I can't remember the week before, the current plan is absolutely, the plan, and all the best laid plans, Michelle, as we know, is that nationally we come out of lockdown on the 2nd of December, notwithstanding the comments I made a few moments ago about Brentwood's high infection rate. So the plan is that we start to open the Brentwood Centre on the 3rd of December, and that's always been the case. You know, there was never a long-term plan to shut it down or not reopen it, as some people still don't seem to get, but there we are, can't say it enough. So at the moment, there is a lot of work that needs to be done internally. We've had to, as we got the keys back from the trust, we've had to go in and do an assessment of the inside of the building and the outside of it. We've had Essex County Fire and Rescue Service in to come and do an assessment, and all sorts of other people that needed just to survey the building. Because, as I've said all along, this is a great opportunity for a reset. And because we've got back into the building where we were not the leaseholder, we weren't managing the operation, we would need to go through that with a tooth comb and make sure it's compliant in terms of fire safety, electrical safety, gas and water safety, and a whole load of things. Because it's an asset now that we've got back in our possession, and we need to make sure it's fit for the public when we open it. So all of that work is taking place. We've got contractors coming in. They're giving us quotes for work that need to be done. And the absolute intention is that for that, subject to national COVID restrictions, to open on the 3rd of December. And I'm pretty confident we'll do it. Again, subject to extenuating circumstances that we can't control, potentially. And that's the plan. So, you know, it might look a bit different if we can open it, if we can open gyms. I don't know. But if we do, we'll probably put that in the international hall. If people can swim, then great. But maybe, you know, the government might take the view that sort of any recreation involving water could be a contagion thing, so they may not choose to open it. But irrespective of that, we need to be ready to go on the 3rd, and we're putting a whole load of effort in. Officers are working hard, contractors, etc., to get that facility ready to open the door. Listen, I'm optimistic about it. I've always been optimistic about it. All right, the BLT have gone bust. Good. Well, let's have a reset and let's reopen it and make it better than it ever was for the last few years. And that's my full intention. And I'm totally optimistic about that.
Now, the last bit of our chat today is about Christmas. It is going to be a different Christmas this year and New Year's celebration as well. But we have got Christmas trees up across the borough already.
We have. Yeah, they went up this week at different locations. We've got one outside the town hall. See it outside my office window. We've got one at the Chapel Ruins in the High Street. We've got one in Shenfield. I think we've got one somewhere else as well. So they've all gone up. You know, that we won't have the big lighting up Brentwood like we normally do. Yeah. And unfortunately, we won't have a Shenfield High Street event either, which are always great events. So, you know, we'll still have a Christmas look and feel to Brentwood. We'll have the trees up and the lights on, but we won't have public openings or public switching on of the lights. So we'll do an online sort of lighting up, effectively.
Yep.
As we've had to do all year, haven't we, with things like Remembrance Sunday and all sorts of good ceremonies that we normally enjoy together that we're just having to do online. So that's still the plan. And we've got some great trees up, and I'm grateful to our sponsors who have local businesses in Brentwood, even in this time, who are still continuing to come out and support us and try and brighten up and cheer up Brentwood around Christmas time.
And so, just a final word, Chris, and just how important it is, we don't want the lockdown to continue in Brentwood. I know we've got the highest rate of COVID, so just one more.
Just take it. We are, you know, I'm really torn about it. What I'm doing is I'm looking at everything now is doing the best we can till the 2nd of December. What do I mean by doing the best we can? Try and behave in such a way as you don't become part of problem in terms of spreading the virus, because if the rate continues to go up, it's going to be really hard for me to justify why Brentwood shouldn't be treated differently after the 2nd of December. If we've still got the highest rate in Essex and the climb is still, you know, going in the wrong direction, then it's going to be really hard for me. But what I really want is to try and get the rate down as best we can so that we can free ourselves up to enjoy Christmas as a community and as a society, because I think that's so important for morale right now. And also for our business community, our retailers, to also take advantages of what would be a bumper month. So let's think of them. You know, let's put it this way. Here's my closing thought for the week, I think, Michelle, is we have got some small businesses who've put everything on the line to comply with lockdown restrictions. Yes, they've closed their businesses. They're putting their businesses at risk. Everything invested in their business, they could well lose if they can't reopen in December. You can't keep drip feeding people 2 or 3 grand and expect them to remain in business. even though we're trying to help, it doesn't wash.
Yep.
So if the businesses are putting that much on the line, some of the, particularly the retail ones, then why can't we as a community just show a bit of solidarity with them and not, and be as considerate as possible around not spreading the virus? Hands, face, space. You can't say it enough, can you? But some people still don't do it. So let's come out in solidarity. If we're saying we're all in this together, which we should be, then let's demonstrate that. And that's what I'd say, Michelle, really.